This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau has launched the Ditch the Rule website at ditchtherule.fb.org, focused on topics and analysis related to the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers' recent release of the Waters of the U.S. proposed rule. The easy-to-navigate site includes several sections: Take Actions, Go Social, Find Answers, and Get Resources. Visitors may also sign up to learn more, comment on the proposed rule, and send tweets using the hashtag #DitchTheRule. The House Ways and Means Committee marked up legislation Tuesday to make seven tax code provisions that expired at the end of last year permanent. One of the bills was Farm Bureau-supported H.R. 4457, which permanently extends the increased Section 179 small business expensing limitations that expired at the end of last year. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman testified in favor of making the lapsed Section 179 deductions permanent at a Ways and Means Committee hearing on April 8th. The Senate Finance Committee approved a two-year extension of all the expiring tax provisions, including Section 179, on April 3rd, when it passed the Expiring Provisions Improvement, Reform, and Efficiency Act. Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada has announced that he intends to bring the bill to the Senate floor in May. Farmers have made considerable advancement in sowing corn, according to Monday's release of the Agriculture Department's Weekly Crop Progress Report, which shows that 19% of the corn crop has been planted. The gains in field activities have surpassed the 5% level achieved in 2013, but total plantings are still slightly behind when compared with the five-year average, which is 28% for this time period, according to USDA. The most notable gains were in the key growing states in the Midwest, which have finally been able to start getting past the lingering impacts of a prolonged winter, which left fields too wet and cold to start the spring season. As of Monday, the leading state in that region was Illinois at 32%, followed by Iowa at 15% and Indiana at 8%. Only 3% of the entire corn crop has emerged at this time, compared with 2% in 2013 and a five-year average of 6%. In its first report for soybeans, USDA stated that 3% of the crop has been planted, with southern states leading the way, as Louisiana was the top state, having completed 55%, followed by Mississippi with 24% and Arkansas at 16%. The Agriculture Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing food safety recommendations for states affected by a powerful storm system that moved through the South and Midwest on Sunday, spawning several tornadoes in Arkansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri. Power outages from weather emergencies compromise the safety of stored food, but consumers can take steps to reduce food waste and the risk of foodborne illnesses. The FSIS website provides consumers with resources to keep food safe and protect themselves. From a strong field of applicants, three state and four county farm bureaus were selected to each receive a $700 grant from the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee to help fund Our Food Link activities. Grant recipients are Oklahoma, Rhode Island, and Utah farm bureaus, Dickey County, North Dakota, Franklin County, Virginia, Jerome County, Idaho, and Summit County, Ohio. Grant-winning programs demonstrate a strong connection between the food system and agriculture, while creatively engaging consumers in a way that encourages them to learn more about food and agricultural products. With the understanding that significant changes will have to be made to the Food and Drug Administration's Food Safety Modernization Act proposed rule for animal feed, Farm Bureau is again urging officials to put a second draft of the proposed rule out for public comment. Given the complexity of the proposed rules, the current process of responding to comments on this draft rule with a final rule as a next step does not allow FDA to craft a sound and operable food safety framework. An interim step, such as a second draft rule or interim final rule, is needed to work through the regulatory process with adequate stakeholder input, Farm Bureau wrote in recent comments. Further, the second draft of all the FSMA-related proposed rules should be made available for thorough review as to how they are intended to work together, according to Farm Bureau. The U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance has announced Food Dialogues Chicago, Integrity in Food Marketing, will be held at the Intercontinental Hotel June 10th from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Central Time. The event will explore how food professionals, from farmers to food manufacturers, retailers and marketers to food service executives, can share information on these complex food production issues while not confusing, misrepresenting, or alarming consumers. Further, food and marketing experts will share their experiences during this open and honest discussion with the goal of engaging companies that utilize unique marketing activities such as video campaigns to tell their food production stories. GMO Answers, an initiative committed to creating conversations about GMOs and answering consumer questions, conducted a national survey this year identifying top questions about GMOs. Over the past couple of months, GMO Answers has been providing an answer each week to one of the top 10 questions discovered through the survey. GMO Answers spokesperson Kathleen Enright provided some insights about the survey. They found that the number one top question concerned long-term health. 8 out of 10 folks surveyed wanted to know if GMOs were linked to cancer. An independent expert, Dr. Kevin Fulta from the University of Florida, provided that answer, explaining that GMOs are not linked to cancer. A total of 219 members of Congress, including both Democrats and Republicans, have joined in sending a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers asking the agencies to withdraw the proposed rule expanding federal jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. The letter, spearheaded by Representatives Chris Collins of New York and Kurt Schrader of Oregon, puts the House clearly on record as opposing the agency's jurisdictional overreach. A total of 218 members are required to pass any legislation in the House. The total cleared the critical threshold in the last day as state farm bureaus weighed in with their congressional offices and AFBF led a coalition of dozens of agricultural organizations urging members to co-sign the letter. Increased and more frequent training, additional record-keeping requirements, and changes to the family farm exemption are key parts of the Environmental Protection Agency's proposal to tighten the standards for the handling and application of pesticides. While ensuring workers' safety is top priority, the rule may go too far for family farms and ranches, according to Farm Bureau. Farmers and ranchers are mindful of the fact that anyone working with hazardous chemicals must be careful and well-trained. We don't want to put our workers in jeopardy. We just want to make sure that the standards EPA adopts are reasonable and on par with the risk involved, explained Paul Schlegel, American Farm Bureau Federation Crop Protection Specialist. With the March 19 publication of the proposal, the current deadline for comments is June 17th. However, citing several important reasons, AFBF and others have requested the comment deadline be extended to September 17, 2014. A full-page Marketplace Fairness Coalition ad in the National Journal Daily this week urges members of Congress to end the current tax advantage for online sellers and provide parity at the point of purchase. And more than 1,000 community retailers recently sent a letter to the House Judiciary Committee asking for immediate action on e-fairness legislation. Farm Bureau supports allowing the collection of sales taxes on internet sales of consumer goods by out-of-state sellers. Hog farmers are dealing with a deadly pig disease and the threat of trade retaliation against their products, both of which will have a negative impact on the U.S. pork industry, the National Pork Producers Council told congressional lawmakers in testimony before a House Agriculture Subcommittee. In a hearing on the state of the U.S. livestock industry held by the Agriculture Subcommittee on Livestock, Rural Development, and Credit, NPPC President Dr. Howard Hill, a veterinarian and hog farmer from Cambridge, Iowa, detailed the effects on hog farmers of the U.S. country of origin labeling law and of the porcine endemic diarrhea virus. Hill pointed out that country of origin labeling, which requires meat to be labeled with the country where an animal was born, raised, and slaughtered, caused the Canadian pork industry to reduce production as U.S. hog farmers sought to avoid the costs and complications associated with the law. PEDV, said Hill, has killed about 7 million pigs in 30 states since last April, losses that likely will reduce slaughter this summer by more than 10%. Such reductions would push U.S. hog prices up by 15% to 25% and force consumer pork prices up, according to economist Steve Meyer, president of Paragon Economics in Adel, Iowa. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.